Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello again and welcome to episode 8 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me?
Yep.
Wizard me! With me, as ever, I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
James Ross.
And who are you playing?
I'm playing an awkward rogue, stab first, ask questions never.
Called?
Sasha Racket, sorry. I told you she was awkward. It's not autobiographical at all.
Zolf Smith, smelly cleric.
Hamid, the halfling sorcerer.
Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, the nemesis of all tables.
Cool. And last thing that happened is you guys had managed to basically head down into the sewers, having followed the bombers, we'll call them. You found yourself a chunk of simulacrum in a big basin of excrement. And Zolf, in a fit of foolhardy bravery, decided to fetch
for
another
a wisdom
one.
18 character.
Oh yeah,
really role playing my stats there.
Yeah. Went for a quick swim. Went through a longer swim than he anticipated. Ended up in a brief lake of, yep. And then got hauled back up by everyone with the help of Hamid. So last thing that happened is you guys dumped a lump of something on the side of the sewer.
Yes. Last thing that happened is I want to be clean.
The first thing I do is cast Prestidigitation. I use it to clean Zol.
Oh, thank goodness.
To clean myself.
Yep.
And to clean the strange device.
Well, you know, faff, we have another Blizzard of Hankies. That's got to be a spell.
A Blizzard of Hankies.
Blizzard of Hankies.
And nonetheless, you finish with your Blizzard and expose the head of the simulacrum. It appears to have been torn from the neck.
Can I do a perception? Or are we all?
To do?
To see if it was if it would react. Try and maybe...
Poke it in the eye.
I'm going to try talking to it before anybody sees whether it's alive or not. Because I think that's the sort of thing my character would do.
Okay.
Hello! Hello! Metal person! Hello! No, I'll tap it on the head. Knock, knock. Anyone in? Anybody, and then I'll open, try and open an eye.
Uh-huh.
And go, hello, hello.
The eye looks like it's been shattered. Like the actual eye, it looks like it's made of glass or some kind of gem or something. I mean, you know, expert. But it certainly looks like it's cracked and has been punched or hit or something. It's basically imploded, the eye that you lift up.
Oh, right, well, sorry about that. Close that one, open the other one. Hello.
There's an eye there that's dull and unmoving.
I think the most important question at this point is, are there going to be any other pieces of it down in that big lake in the vault?
I didn't notice anymore, but to be honest, I wasn't really paying attention.
Do you think we can ascertain?
I think that sounds more like something that, say, like if we took this to the city guard, they could drain the lake. Because that sounds like something you need a lot of people who are gross. To do that.
Yes, delegating. I think it's the first task of leadership is learning when to delegate.
Well, I actually think the bigger question is, why did they do that? Now, they obviously weren't trying to steal the simulacrum for being a simulacrum. So was there some kind of maybe magical engine? Or did they just want to destroy it?
Well, it's full of precious materials, but
why throw bits away?
To travel more easily? I mean, we're going to struggle to carry these, aren't we?
True.
Do we need to keep following the trail? Remember, just around that corner, there was a
massive
big
door.
Bolted door.
Yeah. Mm. How about...
Shall we...
I can look in at the door.
Probably scout, see what's going on.
Check it for traps. Remember that manhole was trapped.
I'll do that.
You probably knew that. Sorry.
That's nice. Do what you do. Do what you do.
Okay. I'll awkwardly go to the door.
You get to the end and you get to that door that looks like it's been sheared or something.
Checking it for traps.
Give me a perception roll.
That is 9.
Hmm. 9 plus your perception off
is 6.
15?
Yeah.
You see another tripwire, the door's slightly ajar, and this tripwire is very, very narrow. But it seems to be a similar setup as the first one.
Are we all behind you at this point, along the corridor, and I'm carrying the head, presumably, because nobody else is behind
you. I had it last year.
I gesture to stay back silently, assuming that you understand the downward sort of.
I'm carrying the head. I'm thinking I'm going to have a go at a bit of a ventriloquist's act.
And I'm going to put my clothes back on.
Yeah.
I was in me under crackers and my dolphin pendant. That was all I was wearing. So,
bottle of beer. Blah, 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 blah.
What are you doing, Barry?
Can any of you chaps get the head talking?
No, we'll deal with that later.
I am gonna disable device.
Yeah, sure. Give me the roll.
So 8 plus 7, so 15.
Again, yeah, you have a bit more trouble with this one. Mm-hmm. But as before, same. It's ultimately, it's the same mechanism. It's just a bit more fiddly because it's a much narrower space for you to reach and sort it. But yeah, you manage to hold the tripwire, snip the wire, reach in. And unfortunately, you don't manage to sort of salvage the whole thing. Oh. You make a slight error, and basically it starts to, you hear a little as it's trying to ignite it. And you're like, oh, no. You start, you know, plucking a couple of components out so it can't go off. But you can't
really usable.
You can't really salvage it.
I don't retrieve my lovely second thunderstone and vial.
No. Basically, the oil vial breaks as part of it. Is the way that you stop it going off in your face. As you break the oil, it dribbles on the floor. The thunderstone sort of sparks but doesn't go off, and then nothing happens.
So you can't make a pair of incredibly dangerous earrings.
No. Okay. So can I listen to the door?
Uh-huh.
The door has
what
woes.
The door is so sad.
At this point, I assume you'll carry the gauntlet, Zolf.
No, I'm happy carrying it in my backpack.
I'll sneak up to next to Sasha now that the trap's gone to help her just scout a bit. But obviously, again, letting her take the lead.
Yep,
sure.
Listening.
Would you rather take two perception rolls? No, give me two perception rolls.
Ooh, 19 plus, so 25.
Yeah, much better than the 18.
Both of you hear distant voices. You cannot make any words. You cannot make even the genders of the voices. They seem quite low, but you can't really make up much more than that. There's that much echoing and re-echoing and so on. And the doorway, you haven't opened it. The door's still just ajar as it was. It seems to lead to a metal staircase.
Stay here. I think it might be better if we go just a little way ahead.
Yeah.
What's down there?
There's some voices.
There's people and there is... There's a clanging, like it's made of metal. So Bertie,
I understand.
We'll shout if you need.
And
if
me.
We need you.
Yeah.
Tap my leg. Not gonna happen.
Right.
But I will get my trident out and just basically ready. Just yell if you need us, and we'll come down.
You do that brain walkie-talkie spell thing.
It doesn't have a very long range, but I guess I can give it a go. I cast message.
Okay. What's the range on it?
110 feet.
Okay. Who'd you cast it on?
I'll cast it on both of them. It's a cantrip, so I can cast it as many times as I like.
Sure. So currently Bertie and Zolf are connected now to you.
I'll cast it on Sasha as well.
They don't connect to each other. No. Basically, you're holding a conference call, but you're the only one that
it's
can...
It's not like we've set up a chat room. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So we go downstairs. I flow like a spilled bottle of extra virgin olive oil. It's not as good.
Extra virgin. Over
the back of a silken seal. Yeah.
We'll get there collectively.
Yeah.
We'll get you there in a sufficiently flowy
the
fashion.
The seal quivers in delight. Give it a massage.
And the door's just jealous.
Yeah.
Stealth checks from both of us, I guess.
I think that would be wise.
Come on, dice.
The dice is with
seven.
You.
12 plus 7.
19.
19?
18 plus... 6, 24.
Sasha's flowing like an oily seal.
An oil seal.
And then
and he's just a better oil seal.
And then
seal.
Hamid's exactly the same, but quieter.
Yeah.
It's gotta be galling. but yeah, you guys are basically making your way down this metal staircase. It's quite old. On the flip side of the door that you passed, you see that there is there's no bolts on this side. So it's very clear that it was meant to be locked from the upper level.
Mm-hmm.
Against the lower level rather than the people in the stairway closing it from people coming in from where you have.
So they were meant to keep people like us out originally?
No.
They were meant to stop people from coming up the stairs rather than people going down the stairs.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
So, sneaking down the stairs, you're sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. A little bit of a more sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. There's a brief moment where you go quiet. Was there someone there? You hear voices. A little bit more sneaky. You get down till you're at the range of your... message, and the voices are discernibly louder. You hear multiple. They don't seem to be hushed, and then you can make out women's voices as well, but it's as far as you can go without dropping out of range.
I'll just whisper through the message, we're going out of range, but we'll shout. Just stay vigilant.
We're ready.
You go down a couple more staircases and come up against another door, like a lower level, and the staircase continues lower as well.
Goodness.
You can see the bottom maybe another 5 floors down. It's a pretty deep stairwell.
Yeah.
Could this be a path into other London? How deep do you have to go?
I don't know, but Sasha would. So yeah, Alex,
this is... It's certainly deep enough. I mean, ultimately, certain parts of Other London would be coming up to almost, like, just below that sewer that you first entered.
Mm-hmm.
You're certainly deep enough to be drawing near to Other London.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible to know whether, like, this is connecting into that, but just sort of how far you've come and your experience of it, yeah. Certainly.
To clarify then, mm-hmm. with Upper London and Other London,
mm-hmm.
is Upper London effectively on stilts, or is Other London completely underground? It's basically been subsumed. A bit like, for example, Ankh-Morpork's Pork's Undercity.
Upper London's built on London. Basically, the London got built up over the top. You know that there were the floods, which, if anyone's interested in this stuff, I'm deliberately being a bit esoteric because it's all there on the website. If you just go into if you go into Rusty Quill Gaming and then across to Story World, I've got a bunch of things explaining the Story World in greater detail. But following the floods from the initial lightning rail experiments,
mm-hmm.
Under London, or Other London, was subsumed, and it was just much easier to just effectively turn what was a second story into a basement. And just build across the top.
Right.
Start again, do it better.
Fair enough. Cool.
That's certainly all that your character would know, no more.
Yep, fine.
So what can we hear the voices?
So I would then answer in character, I'm guessing, saying it's entirely possible. Like, there's places it's much less deep than this. But
sure, okay.
It might even go straight past Other London to, like, maybe there's another London before that, and then another one before that.
Well, let's...
Is it London's all the way down?
Okay.
Do you continue to go down, or you're currently
we're listening on this floor.
Let's listen.
It certainly sounds like the voices are coming from this floor rather than a lower floor.
Excellent.
And basically there's a corridor leading away from the stairwell that just takes an immediate left turn, another 90 degree, so you can't necessarily see a door, but the noises seem to be coming from around the corner.
Take a listen.
Yeah.
Sure. You make out a babble of multiple voices, 10, maybe 12 that you can hear discernibly.
But not possible to pick out conversation because there's so many.
You make out a very, very faint conversation. You occasionally catch the word bread and the word ridiculous.
Look at all this ridiculous bread we have! That's what you get for setting up a clown bakery!
Do you think we can...
Well, it sounds
work
like
without being spotted.
Yeah, I mean you're small, or like I'll do it. I'll it's fine. I'll do it. So I very in character that.
The world's most reluctant rogue.
Nothing. Okay, so I'll go pop my head around the corner.
You see another door almost identical to the one that's at the top of the staircase. The bolts have been sheared. The bolts were designed to be opened. This time from inside the stairwell,
right,
rather than from outside the stairwell.
Uh-huh.
And the bolts have been sheared, and it's slightly ajar.
Okay. Am I now hearing lots of clear conversation?
The voices are definitely coming from the other side of the door, and there is what looks like firelight,
right.
Sort of occasionally glimmering on the wall.
Can I now hear what these people are talking about?
You hear an equivalent to, which is ridiculous. Which is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not paying that for bread. Well, you can pay for it somewhere else. Or, you know, you could pay for it here. It's ridiculous! Who pays that for bread? I could eat a rat for that. Two, maybe.
Do I recognise these voices?
You recognise the tone and the accent as Other London, but these specifics, no.
Okay, so still not particularly sure if these guys are enemies, but it doesn't sound that much like it. But then why would we come down the corridor? Like, how was the thing? Okay, I just opened the door.
Just brazenly?
It's very sneakily. I want to take a tiny peek through the crack.
It explodes in your face! No, it doesn't. you open the door, and you're looking into a large industrial under complex, as it were. So lots of steel walkways up high. You're coming out onto a very high steel walkway.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like someone drained the vault that Zolf landed in. It isn't actually designed for the holding of liquid or anything, but the scale, the kind of architecture, there are pipes that run in and then flow, but they flow past this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of metal grill work, multiple levels,
mm-hmm.
and you appear to be above what looks like some kind of market that's been set up across the metal grilling and just across the various levels of the complex.
Okay.
It's very familiar to you as it's one of the bazaars. There's a few.
Right.
You recognise it and you realise that you've never seen this door that you're looking in through. Never seen that open before. To be honest, there's so many doors that are just locked and bolted that you don't really notice them eventually.
Right. Okay. Is it going to be a hugely obvious thing if I walk out of this? Like, am I visible to the entire market because I'm coming from such a high place?
I'd say that if the market was looking up, yes, you are. Yeah. You are, like, you know, 30 feet above all of the stall tops and stuff, which also actually have awnings,
right,
as if they were going to be rained on, but it ain't rain that they're protecting themselves from.
Right.
But yeah, you would be visible, but it's not like anyone's looking up there, you know?
Bringing Bertie is going to be difficult. So I go back to you, to Hamid, and say, like, go back and send them a message. It's just a market. It's just like we can go in. We can ask people if they've seen anyone come past. It's like it's just normal people.
Well, should we head back up and the four of us can work out what to do next? I mean, at this point the trail's probably gone cold, and maybe we just need to start asking around in other London.
And you want your sleep?
Well, yes.
All right. I mean, maybe when we get them, I bet there'll be like an inn or something we can get down there. I mean, it won't be what Bertie's used to or you.
Well, let's go and talk to him.
Right.
We'll just head back up to the main...
Okay, sure. We'll cut to Zolf and Bertie, mid-conversation.
Go. So, the aroma, I would say, was probably... had a certain piquancy that... Yeah, almost indescribable, really. Like, nothing... I've been in some pretty grim bilges in my time, but this was...
Grim. Grimmer?
Extraordinary.
Grimmest.
Not quite grimmest, but I say...
Somewhere between grimmer and grimmest.
One of my top three grim
moments.
Grims.
At which point, Hamid and Sasha rock up.
So down that staircase, there's a doorway into a bazaar.
Yeah, like, it's one of the other London markets. It'll be, you know, it's just...
It's quite crowded.
If you give me a knowledge local, Sasha, I can see how much information you have on.
Ten. I thought that was a two.
Ten? And what's your modifier?
Plus 7. 17.
Ooh. Okay, yeah.
So I know stuff about local things. Local knowledge for local people.
One of the things that they fixed, I think, in Pathfinder was knowledge local refers universally.
Mm.
So if you were in Paris, you would still have better knowledge local than everyone else. Because the idea is that you're good at just figuring it out. It's very much, I find myself in Budapest. I know how cities work. And then, you know, an hour later you're in a hashish bar making all of the friends.
In my case, annoying all of the people.
All of the people.
For you, Budapest is barely a Buda nuisance.
Hey.
Oh, James.
Oh, that was great. Come on. Oh,
that's your worst one for the day.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that enough for everybody.
So, you know, it is a bazaar. It is a bazaar that specialises in food products. It's near enough to the sewage pipes that there is... Think of it as a hydroponics garden that's actually been set up, where a few enterprising folks have been using it as manure, effectively. And there's a part connected to that, which is for the cleaning of them, to remove all of the trace sewage, blah, blah, blah. It's mostly for the buying of food. It's also mostly for the buying of food sort of wholesale.
Right.
So people would be coming up here to buy, like, 13 cabbages to then take it to their inn and make cabbage soup for 40 people or whatever.
Right.
It's not so much I'd like to buy a cup of coffee here kind of deal.
I don't know, like, there's nowhere around there you could sell.
I don't think we're going to pick up that trail by following it. We'll have to ask around.
We've got these big...
actually, good point.
Pieces.
Not really that keen to go into other London with something that's probably worth the amount that other London is.
I mean, should we take these back to...
We should take these back to the side.
To Haringey, and then we can try and pick up the trail tomorrow morning?
Well,
after
either
sleep.
That, or if he pays us. Job's a good one.
Job done. This simulacrum looks pretty dead to me. I think that was basically the fulfilment of most of the conditions.
Well, he might want us to find the people that did it as well,
then he can pay us some more.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We are, after all... mercenaries.
Indeed.
Right.
So what's
if you're not comfortable with this whole kind of
Very comfortable. I'm extremely comfortable.
You know, focused, then...
Just not used to it, is all.
Right, okay.
I am intensely relaxed about being filthy, filthy rich. Yes.
And if anyone's got any concerns, don't worry. If we see people being mugged or anything like that, I'm not going to ask them to pay me before I help them. Well, you know, we can assess the situation.
I mean, the other thing is it'd be quite nice to prepare before. I mean, I was literally just on my way home. I didn't bring, you know, everything I would have needed with me. And then we were in a fight with some people. And
come
then
we were in road trip.
Some Ooh. Fight with other people. And then we came down to the sewers. And it'd be nice to have everything.
As someone who's gone for a swim in lots of poo, I can't agree more for going back and having about 15 baths. So.
And we could, like, have a bed in a hotel, like one that's paid for and everything.
We could rest using all of this money that we've just picked up that looks a lot like a head and an arm.
The mercenary guild will gut us.
I have an apartment in town.
Wow.
Fair enough. To Hammond's apartment!
Hammond's! All back to Hammond's.
Well, we'll have to go... My accent went a bit weird there.
We'll have to go past the
sergeant and
deliver this and deliver see what he says and what he wants us to do next.
Yes. So, spell out your plan specifically to him.
We go all the way back up to the surface. We go and see Sergeant Haringey.
Does the metal staircase keep going up, further up than the door that we came through, so it may be straight to the ground
level?
It
did head further up. It didn't disappear into the distance. It only looked like it went up a few more levels.
We're not that far down.
I think we should try that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Take that route up.
That's probably a good route back. Yeah. Okay. Oh, but yes, our plan is get out, find the sergeant, give him the head, hopefully collect our payment, see if he wants us to pay us to do anything more, and then go to Hammond's for parties and ablutions.
Right.
End of campaign.
Yay!
No, I'm not a dragon yet.
Cut to the four of us just sat in a hot tub.
Yeah, we'll just sell this on the black market and retire to Sweden.
The first time I've ever heard the phrase retire to Sweden as if it's a happy ending.
I'm going to be honest, the way that Pathfinder works, you could totally sell it and head off to Sweden. I can make that work.
Yeah, that's fine, but...
that sounds like less trouble than sticking around in London.
I'm an honest mercenary. Right, you may not be, but I've got the arm.
You guys head
we're going
back
up there,
the
up the spiral staircase.
Sure. Check for traps on the door.
Mm-hmm. Where does it come out?
So you head up the stairs. Takes a while. Clang, 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 because Bertie's with them. You make it to the level that you came out in originally. Sorry. Then up a few more rounds of the staircase, and you get to just a door. It is bolted. And it appears to be bolted like the one that you came in through, so that people from the stairwell can't get out.
Okay.
You might be able
lock
to
pick
it. Yeah. So having a quick look, yeah, there is a lock that you can pick.
I have just basic thieves' tools, and my lock.
So you're not taking any penalties, but you're not getting any bonuses.
No.
Disable device.
That's my defense.
So for listeners, because this is the first time, disable devices for lock picking. If you have thieves tools, you take no penalties. If you're doing it without thieves tools, you take like a -3, I think, or -4. Most rogues will go for a masterwork set as soon as possible because they're comparatively cheap, and get you a just a +3, which is why you know they're useful.
That was 15.
15 total?
Yep.
Okay, 15 total. It takes a decent amount of time. Just as Bertie's starting to get a bit grumbly and impatient, you finally manage to get this sort of clank and then pull down the lever and you feel the bolts. Then you can pull the door open.
Are there any biscuits in there?
Are there any biscuits in there?
There are no biscuits.
It's the biscuit
in there.
Factory.
Perception check for biscuits. Kidding.
It appears to be a service tunnel that runs for at least 100 feet and just has a lot of pipes sort of in the walls and in the ceiling. It's just a long, straight service tunnel.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this looks. What do we want? Down here or through the.
There's a service tunnel. It's got to have an exit. Someone's got to get in. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You start heading.
And it's not covered in poo. So that's a win in my book.
Bonus.
You guys make it down the corridor without any encounters with anything to do with the human digestive system.
Yes.
And make it to another manhole cover.
Right.
Ladders leading up to it. It's a bit of a longer ladder. It's like a 25-foot ladder or so. And there's a manhole cover at the top, which is covered, and it looks like they're sort of light, dark, same as the right. one in the other direction. Who leads the way? Give me an order.
Oh, okay.
Sasha, yep. And then probably me.
I flow like...
yeah.
Name know, something like, that flows uphill.
Like water uphill.
Up
yeah. Like shadow gratings.
Yeah.
Out of a grater.
Like
grated at speed.
Yeah.
Like on a weasel boat. Through a Hamster City toy set.
So like really cramped and with great difficulty.
Weasels are really small.
Was that some product play? Are they paying? Are Hamster City paying?
Oh god, I wish they were.
Or like a stoat, they're the smaller ones, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So even smaller, like tiny.
So you go up the ladder deadly. Like a stoat, that's what I'm hearing.
Right. Yeah.
You get up to the manhole cover. And there doesn't seem to be anything attached to it, at least from this side.
Yeah.
And you try and lift it.
Mind your head.
Yeah.
Give me a strength check.
I can't do this, probably.
Ooh. Two.
I do not manage it.
No.
Nope.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. And on that failure, I think we're going to take a brief break and be back here in a couple of minutes.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, I'm James.
And I'm Alex.
All the way from Rusty Quill Towers. Now, this August...
That's August 2015. If you're listening in the future, then we're all dead and apes have taken over the Earth!
Ah, curse you, apes! You are the source of most of my problems. Now, we're both doing shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and we'd love you, specifically you, to come along. My show is a stand-up show. It's called James Ross Lepidoptera. It's on from the 8th until the 29th of August, except on Wednesdays, at 4:45 at Globe Bar on Nidri Street. Now, it will be literally the best thing you've ever seen if you've had a very narrow life and an extremely limited field of experiences.
And I'm directing a sketch comedy show with a group called Casual Violence. The show's called Om Nom Nom Nominous, and it's on at the Pleasance upstairs at 11:15pm from the 20th to the 23rd. If you like those nightmares where you run screaming from a monster only to realise it was actually just trying to invite you to a show but you didn't realise, so you instead stayed home alone and watched reruns of Magic Roundabout whilst crying, then this is the show for you.
It is the show for me.
Yeah. So we hope to see you there, and we hope we don't disappoint you too much if it's the first time you've met us.
I am not going to disappoint you. I'm really impressive.
You're a joy. Anyway, with that, let's get back to the show.
Let's do that thing.
And welcome back. So, yeah, you've successfully failed at lifting a man. Yeah.
Stand aside, young lady. Bertie.
Clang, 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 clang,
clang, clang, clang, clang. How long's the ladder?
It was, what, 25, 30?
Clang, 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 clang. There's a montage.
Bertie.
Montage concluded. I'm at the top of the ladder.
Make sure you don't get your head knocked off by a cart.
Very well.
I'd recommend taking 10.
Okay.
You eventually managed to...
Yeah.
It's clearly night. Not like 2 a.m. or anything. It's coming up to... I mean, you're no survival expert. The street lamps are on. There you go, Bertie. Right. It's night and the lights are on. And there's not much traffic. You're coming up right in the middle of a street. It's an upmarket area. You're not too far from Edison's, to be honest. You're only like maybe a block away, something like that.
So where's this like fancy apartment that was going to be all like...
We're finding the size of the
and...
Yes.
Right, so presumably you're heading to Central, I'm guessing?
City of London, presumably.
Yeah, yeah. Zolf knows his way there.
Okay.
Yeah, you head through. You head out of the upmarket back into, if you remember where Zolf was doing his interviews, kind of a bit more merchanty. And there's a large official-looking building, some faux columns out front. Central Precinct, and it has like a badge and an emblem, which is, I think it's a rose and a baton crossed. And yeah, heading up, there's like a wooden counter with someone behind the desk, you know, behind some glass. Can I help you?
We're here to see Sergeant Aaron Gay.
All right, name?
Zolf Smith.
And?
Oh, sorry.
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, and guest, holds up the head, does a little ventriloquism. Hello! Yeah. I'm a metal person.
Yeah, the guy behind the counter clearly is aware of what's happened today.
Bottle of beer. Bottle of beer.
Right,
that's
yes,
why we're here to see him.
All right, I'll be back in a second.
In your own time, done in a ventriloquist voice with the metal head.
Oh, that's so great. So he goes and he heads back in a couple of minutes, out from down the corridor, steps Haringey. So, that's fast.
Well,
any news, anything like that?
Bertie, show him your trick.
We just flew in from... other London, and boy are our arms tired, through ventriloquism, through the big metal head. Why not give him a wave?
You guys are way too whimsical. My office, now.
All right.
Very well, on we go. Again, ventriloquism all the way through.
Right, you head down, you head into, it's a small-ish office. He's clearly high up enough, but by no means is he running the precinct.
Higher up than he used to be.
Oh, yeah. Basically, you see huge mounds of paperwork on his desk. A significant portion of it looks like it's been done in a hurry and probably relates to what's today. There's a bookcase on the side which covers some sort of legal documentation, things like that. There's two chairs, people on the other side of the desk. And there's a coat rack which has got basically his helmet and his steel cuirass attached to it. There's a window behind him that looks out onto the street. And a gas lamp on his desk and the gas lamp in the ceiling, both of which are, a sensible level. It's modest, but by no means is it ramshackle.
I'm going to put the head on top of one of the piles of papers like it's a massive paperweight.
Half of the papers slide immediately onto the floor. He doesn't really seem to care, to be honest.
Whoops.
He sits down.
Right. And the rest of it?
Couldn't locate it. We tracked them into the sewers, found these two pieces discarded just down the drain.
Down the drain?
Yeah. I had to swim in and get it, so thank you.
You're welcome.
And then...
it was a good team
effort.
Good
team. Team. I put my hand out for the sort of the team American football bonding thing.
I try and react in the wrong way, like go for it as if a shaken hand. And we move around.
We can give you a possible location for more pieces. We weren't able to ascertain whether they were there.
Papers.
Because it was a rather large vault filled mostly with water and excrement. It might take a team to drain it to discover whether the rest is there.
So basically they've destroyed it?
As far as we can tell. We recovered these two pieces.
At this point Bertie shakes the big head and turns it up one way and says, all signs point to yes!
As you're saying that, like a bit more of the sewage drops out onto Haringey's floor. Just from the inside, just a little bit of a deposit. Do me a favour, how many is it? Close the door?
I do so.
Good! She picks it up, looks at it. This is bad news. Don't want it. You're saying it's at the bottom of some big old vat of...
We can't confirm that. We followed the trail to a bazaar in other London. At that point, he
reacts to that.
We don't know, though, like because they could have gone up. The people that we
went
were following.
What, to the service hatch?
Yeah, they could have gone
back into Upper London.
Yeah, they could have gone back into Upper London out the street.
But from that branding, the way they were dressed, they were from Other London. Where else would you go and fence it?
Why do you assume it's Other London people? It could have been people from above London who just picked up some tricks.
As fun as this is, where would the if they had gone up, where would the service hatch have come out?
It was just a block away from that Edison place.
Block away?
Makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense.
They'd be seen.
I'm going to be honest. I've had, the second that this happened, I've had most of the officers that I have run in the area. I mean...
I think there were other doors coming out of out of the staircase at different levels. Or maybe they put it... Maybe it all went into the...
It seems,
there was the other manhole, right? The other manhole
seemed,
out the other direction.
It seemed most likely that...
I think it's unlikely.
Can I add, just, if you don't mind, do you want to just, can you step outside with me, please? Please? As your employer?
Yes.
Thank you. Give us a moment. Open the door.
You'll head out. We'll follow you and then we'll cut back into the office.
What is this about? Why are you so...
I just don't think that there's any necessary need for us to go down there. It doesn't seem like there's enough evidence.
Just because you're scared of Other London, because of whatever's gone on, don't. Right? Jeopardise our reputation. Do you know what you just told her, Tim? There were loads of other avenues that we could have explored and we didn't. All right, do you know how much that looks? He's paying us. Just because you're scared to go back there, you're supposed to be a mercenary.
If they came out of that door, they would have had to carry, like, probably most of the, like, the thing.
What is your problem with going back to Other London?
It's just not a good place.
It's our job to go to not good places.
There's not good places and there's not good places, you know?
I'm assuming, by the way we met, you have some sort of history with people in Other London. As part of the team, we will protect you from those people. Like, as a team, we'll work as a team, keep each other safe. But we have to be able to do our job, or we can't do our job. Now, I said we will try and find somewhere outside of the city, but we have to do the job at hand first. Then we'll move from the city. Deal?
My face coils up like an angry teenager's. And I nod as if there was a sour sweet stuffed into both of my cheeks.
Look, I'll buy you a drink as well. Right?
Right.
Fine. Go back in.
Haringey, meanwhile, has, in the meantime, cleared his desk. He's literally just swept all of the stuff onto the floor. With distaste, put the simulacrum on sort of a side coffee table thing, and it's been spreading out a map of the area, which has a couple of things for sewers. It doesn't go as deep as you guys had. It just has that top layer, and then it doesn't get as far as the staircase. And you guys have... Like, effectively, he's pointing at the staircase, and he just says staircase, and he's going, so here.
Yeah, well, I'll walk him through everything that happened to us, like yeah. So the two, you know, it's very possible they dismantled it and chucked it all down there, but we can't be certain. Yeah. So if there's possible to get people who can check into that, into the big lake, and see if there are other bits at the bottom, that would be good. Obviously, we didn't know if you wanted us to try and track these people beyond just the device, but we felt this was enough that to bring back to you to at least confirm that it's a.
It's a dangerous thing to be carrying around.
It's fair. You did right. Good job. I have enough officers for up here. What I don't have is any officers to go down. I don't. As it is, I'm looking at about 15 other people who are all trying to take command, and none of them actually know what they're doing. I can cover up here. What I can't do is I can't send people down there. It's as simple as that. You've done a good job so far. You've done better than I thought, to be honest. I figured it'd take you a while to at least find the stuff. The fact that you brought it back in pieces is only making me happier. Seems like you deserve to be paid. Then maybe we can discuss maybe further in this investigation. Everyone all right with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we did think of some other leads that could be pursued. I mean, this outfit has clearly equipped themselves quite well. And, you know, if we can track down any merchants that they bought these devices from as well.
He just turns to Sasha and gives a calculating look. Hypothetically, would you happen to know someone who would happen to know other London well enough to maybe show these guys around and effectively where they could buy some things like that?
Yes.
Good. Reaches down into his desk, pulls open a drawer. You see him pluck out a key from under his neck, open a strong box, plucks out what looks like a heavy bag.
It looks like the sour sweets have been extracted.
Do they flow away?
They flow into non-existence and are replaced by lovely marshmallows.
Bertie and the money's eyes lock.
I will grab the bag and stick it in my bag.
Yeah. Well, so for your two friends here, they've done a fairly decent job explaining how much trouble it was. You'll find 400 in there. That'll cover expenses as well. I expect that to cover the expenses for the beginning of the next investigation.
Yep.
There'll be more where that comes, at least that much, if you can return to me and get me who they are, something like that.
Excellent.
I want people, not names. If you have to drag a body in here, I want people, not names.
We was wondering if there was any more information about, you know, Tin Man. Because, so Hamid said earlier that what if there was an engine in it that they was after? And they don't care about these bits, despite all the gold and everything. Is there any clues there?
I'm going to be honest. I shouldn't be sending anyone to Overlondon at all. As it is, this payment I'm going to have to be disappearing under some kind of pension fund. Which I'm not okay with, by the way. On top of that, I have the fact that this thing, maybe in pieces, maybe it's just missing an arm and a head. I don't know if that thing can run without them. Who knows? But I currently have...
It does seem very unlikely, Sergeant. I wouldn't worry too much about it.
No, you wouldn't. I would. My job. What I'm looking at is the fact that if not the machine itself, then the people who know where parts of it are currently in other London.
Well, we don't know that. We're just assuming.
But they're out there. And my point is that people can be taking this thing apart right now. I don't know what it runs on. It could run on bottle fireballs. I don't know.
Yeah.
My point is, I don't want that out in the city or other London or anywhere else. And if I'm frank, if anyone was going to weaponise something that was left, it's going to be other London. It's not a criticism of the people that's down there,
right.
But we all know who ends up down there because of the way the city works.
Yeah.
That's fine. We will...
If you find any pieces... I need them back here, under lock and key. If you find plans, bring them back here. If you find out that someone's been making more of these things, if you can, destroy them all. If you can't, you bring the info back to me and I will find someone who can. I do not want these things in my city.
Thank you, Sergeant. We'll get on it.
We'll prep and we'll set out in the morning. We'll get something to you as soon as we
get some rest. You're like
handsome. I look like handsome.
Yeah, that.
Look like black paint on the wall, slightly smeared.
Well, don't let me keep you. He just opens a folder and begins. He's not sure whether it's a power play or whether he's actually doing some paperwork, but he opens a folder and begins marking it down.
It's upside down, sir.
Your rooms.
Yes, well, let's head there.
Excellent.
Fair enough.
Right. And we can divvy up the takings.
Hooray.
So I think the other thing is do we need anything to prepare if we're going to venture down into other London? I certainly understand that some healing potions are often useful.
Well, most of the shops are closed, so...
Well, we can get these tomorrow morning.
I should spell out. And there was a clock at the precinct out at the front desk. It's coming on to midnight. It's like 11:50, sure. Something like that.
So it's still early then.
Yeah, we'll bed down for the night, rest up.
There's a guest bed and there's the sofa, but that's only really enough for three.
That's fine, I'll be on the floor.
Well, of course, I'll have yours, and that's fine. It's very generous of you to offer, Hamid. Thank you so much.
You won't fit, Bertie.
Oh, that's the point. Well...
I love the idea of him not even bothering to take his armour off. There's just like swallowed a bed that's big enough for a small dog.
The guest bed is big enough for a human, but I'm afraid that the master bedroom... is not.
Keep going, but we'll say you're having this conversation as you're walking towards Hamid's apartment.
Yeah, so we'll...
So there's a very nice bath, though, so we can all have a bath.
Good.
Or three.
Good. We'll prep in the morning, head down when we can.
I need to stock up on daggers. I threw a few too many.
Sure.
Okay, well...
This chap, pointing at the falcon, needs at least a monocle.
I still reckon an eye patch would look very dashing.
You guys carry on heading to Hamid's. He lives in a relatively upmarket part of the city. You get there. There is a locked gate and what looks like a sort of central courtyard. Presumably you head straight in, Hamid.
Yeah, just head straight in.
Open the gate, you head up the stairs, and you head into what looks like a pretty upmarket, actually, bachelor pad.
Yeah.
It's
not...
How many people do you share with, then? Do we need to be worried about them?
No, it's just me.
Oh, okay.
Bit pokey, really, isn't it? Bit small. I suppose for you, though.
In fact, describe your apartment for us.
So, it's very nice. It's not opulent. There's nothing flashy about it. It's just, you know, it's got everything it needs. There's a couple of... There's a sofa, there's a couple of very nice chairs, there's a table, there's a little kitchen area, you know, the carpet is pristine and very welcoming to one's feet. The curtains are heavy and you can keep it dark. There's, you know, you can control the lighting level. You know, it's just...
It's a seduction pad.
Basically, yeah.
Not showy, but all the mod cons, kind of.
Yeah, so it's you know, there's no flash, there's no pomp or ceremony to it all. But it's everything is very welcoming and comfy and...
And presumably very clean and orderly.
Yes, absolutely.
So when he says, oh, I own himself, I'd lean over and go... Son of a banker.
You know what? I think I'm going to leave. I'm going to end on son of a banker.
Son of a banker.
You guys are hunkering down for the night.
Yep.
And then
perception check to find the drinks cabinet. Sorry, Karen.
I'm going to say that with pomp and circumstance and taking 20, you managed to find it.
Hello. I'm going to drink you and gain your courage.
I'll pour you a brandy.
Hello, alcohol, my old friend. Ah, la, la. I see myself inside you. Sorry, come.
Okay. So.
I offer Zolf the first bath.
Oh, very kind of you. Much appreciated.
We'll close on that then.
Oh, yeah.
So, thanks for listening, as ever. Be sure to leave reviews if you like what we're doing. And we hope that you join us again next week. So, bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. I can't help waving, even though I know.
Yeah,
you
I
can't
do too.
See.
Wave. We're wave. Waving. We're all waving. Just
wave.
Appreciate our futile waves.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I do like to be an awkward rogue.
Do I know this person?
It's your reflection.
Me! Gosh, we're handsome.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Do you come here often, beautiful?
Getting caught in the wrong shoes can interrupt your plans for the day. like when that 10% chance of rain ends up looking more like 100%. When the transition to fall and winter feels more like experiencing every season on the same day, there's the Allbirds Mizzle collection. These shoes were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Cross off errands with the splash protection on the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with all-condition traction and reflective details on the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Mudguard on the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.